In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almost 14 years ago, Sunday, June 18th, 2006, Church of the Savior embarked on a missionary journey. Now, this was no overseas trip. It was not a long trip either, no longer than the distance between our basement and our top floor. Because at that time, those who were here remember, we were worshiping in the basement. The top floor was intended to become our worship space, but to that point, it was a glorified storage area, and it lacked any utility service. So, of course, the day that we picked to have this mission trip turned out to be the hottest of the summer, and there was no air conditioning. We had one guitar for worship. If memory serves me correctly, at that point, we were still able to run an extension cord up from the mechanical room underneath the stage, and that's how we powered it. There was no overhead screen, so we had printed bulletins. There was no elevator to bring seats from the basement, so people brought their own lawn chairs. I call it a mission trip because it had some of the elements of a cross-cultural experience in that pretty much everything we experienced that day, although the worship was familiar, the way it looked wasn't familiar. It was different. And despite all the inconvenience, at the end of the meeting, you could feel people's excitement. They had caught a vision. Of course, we knew it was impossible, but there still was an expectancy that if God would move, the space that we worshiped in that day could be our home. And as those who were here know, and as all of us have subsequently experienced, God did provide. And we began renovations, which are still ongoing, but we occupied the space. Our gospel reading from Matthew this morning is familiar to many of us. It's Jesus' final instruction to his disciples after his resurrection and before his ascension to heaven. And in it, Jesus is sending the community of his disciples on a mission trip as well. But it's not a short-term mission trip, and it's not limited in geographical extent. It's a lifelong call to mission. As we were studying the passage this week, here are some of the things that people saw. First, you'll note, I think you saw it as Martha just read the lesson a minute ago, some of Jesus' disciples doubted when they first saw him. Now, we hashed this out in Bible study this week. I think the consensus was they were not necessarily doubting that he was raised from the dead. This event probably took place after he had revealed himself to them in the upper room. In fact, it had to have happened after that. But they perhaps doubted that it was really him they were seeing. And so what did Jesus do to resolve their doubts? You notice they saw him before he came to them. So he does two things. He comes, but he also gives us his instruction. And that's what happens for us every time we gather in worship, wherever we may be. We encounter Jesus by his Holy Spirit, and we hear his instruction through his word. Now, the particular instruction in Matthew's passage from Matthew we read this morning, we call the Great Commission. It's God's call to take the good news about Jesus to all the people groups of the world. That's a call not unique to any individual. It's not unique to any gathered body. It's not unique to any one time in history or to one culture or nation. It's a universal call. It's a call that remains in place until it's fulfilled, until the gospel has been proclaimed to every people group, every tongue, every nation, every place. And then Jesus has already taught them the end will come. In the meantime, it's our call as well. And in this Great Commission, there are three elements. There's an affirmation, there's a command, and there's a promise. First, the affirmation. All authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus says, has been given to me. There's no asterisk, no loophole. There's no fine print for two paragraphs at the foot of the document. All authority everywhere, heaven and earth is pretty much everywhere in the biblical worldview, belongs to Jesus. The command comes in view of that affirmation. If he has all authority, he is certainly free and able to give commands, authoritative commands. Here it is. As you go, make disciples. There are two ways that we're to do that. Baptize and teach them to do everything that Jesus taught us. Well, what did Jesus teach us? To go make disciples. What do disciples do? They go and make disciples. This is a repeating cyclical command until the whole world has heard and knows. And finally, the promise. I am with you, it's a plural, yins, y'all, always, even to the consummation of the age. Again, where's the loophole? Where's the asterisk? Where's the fine print disclaimer? There is none. Jesus' name in Matthew's gospel is Emmanuel, God with us. That's what the incarnation is. It's God demonstrating his solidarity with his fallen human creature by coming and living among us as one of us, by living our life, by dying our death, and by rising again from the dead. And Jesus, having done all of that, says, now I am with you, not just for a very limited time of a human lifespan, but always, even to the consummation of the age, to the end of things. As Jesus came to the disciples on the mountain in Galilee and dispelled their doubts and commanded their obedience, so he comes to us now by the Holy Spirit in the same way. And once again, his presence dispels doubt and likewise commands our obedience with the assurance that he's always with us. In 2006, Church of the Savior faced a challenge that seemed insurmountable. Is a challenge with regard to our building, to our place of worship, to the place where we gather, for the place where we encounter Jesus together as a community and are encouraged and trained and discipled to his mission. The challenge seemed insurmountable, but God provided and he met it. Now, I don't think that any of us expected the process of understanding, planning, and implementing reentry, which we're now faced with, to be anywhere near as complicated or as difficult as it seems to be. But as we begin to work on it, we're finding it was a lot easier to leave. And once again, we need God to move. Our bishop, Bishop Hobby, has wisely encouraged his churches, including Church of the Savior, to look at reentry in the light of our mission, which is this same Great Commission. Now, admittedly, it's not the responsibility of Church of the Savior to carry the gospel to every person, every place, in every time of history, or even in this one time of history. It is our responsibility to bring that good news to those whom God brings to us, and whose paths we cross, and to those he calls us to go and seek and descend to. Our role in the Great Commission, then, is to make disciples in Ambridge and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so what does that mission look like now, in this moment, as we begin to consider re-entering our building? Well, there are two obvious things. In the past 2 months, we've seen the online community gathered across the street, the Maplewood Care Center, increase from 5 to as many as 9 with in-house leadership. I haven't set foot in the building once. None of our members, except those who live there, has. We've also seen our online ministry flourish. I did the numbers this week and I was surprised. 46 people who are not or were not regular Sunday morning attenders at Church of the Savior pre-pandemic have participated with us at least once in the last 2.5 months. 22 of those are repeat attenders, 12 of those frequently, if not every week. That 12 represents nearly 25% of our pre-pandemic average Sunday attendance. Shortly, Deacon Laura is going to tell us about some plans that she and others are putting together to have an Alpha online, not just for our friends at the Maplewood Care Center, but for others that may get invited as well. And a little bit more after worship this morning, we'll begin to have conversation about our plans to perpetuate online ministry by live streaming, even as we move back into our building. In 2006, God gave Church of the Savior a vision that he largely fulfilled 3 years later, even though it seemed impossible. Now, in the midst of far greater chaos, at a time when our friends and neighbors in Ambridge and those that God would call us to need to know the good news of Jesus, it's not a nice option. It's a need. Now God has given us a vision for the next steps in our mission. And once again, that vision is tied to our sanctuary. In 2006, I boasted that Church of the Savior remained a parish with the soul of a church plant, a church whose members were willing to risk to do the new thing God was calling us to do. And God made good my boast about us. The need now is arguably less acute, certainly for us, but we are going to need provision to meet both of our new mission needs within weeks, not years. Now our critical need is not so much financial, but for volunteers, for workers. Because both Alpha and live streaming our worship are going to require tasks we have not previously had to do. Folks, I believe that what I said in 2006 remains true today. That Church of the Savior remains a parish with the soul of a church plant, that we continue to be willing to risk to do the new thing in mission that God is calling us to do, that we will hear God's Spirit challenging and encouraging us in the light of the Great Commission as applied to our circumstances to take up the next step, to recognize, acknowledge, and surrender again in a new way, in a deeper way, to the authority of Jesus Christ that he has over us. To go to the next new place that he calls us to and make disciples in the confidence that he is with us to the end of the age. And that we can be as excited about the opportunity to expand our mission as we re-enter our building as we were back in 2006 when it was impossible to renovate, except that God did the impossible. He can do it again. And we look to him with expectancy. He has the authority. He's given us clear instruction and he's promised us to be with us. I look forward as we now move ahead. There's slogging we have to do, but God is faithful, and I'm trusting him and believe you're trusting him as well, that he's going to lead us actually into a season of renewed ministry and greater fruit for his kingdom. Amen.